Each of the military services has its own cyber command, and while their authorities and responsibilities vary somewhat, each is responsible for operating and defending their respective services' networks. But they're also responsible for providing joint cyber capabilities to U.S. Cyber Command and the geographic combatant commanders around the globe. Up until now, defining precisely which cyberspace missions belong to the Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps has been a murky issue. Lieutenant General Rhett Hernandez, the commander of Army Cyber Command, says the services need to build their capabilities in a way that avoids duplicating one another's efforts.
We really have to nest that strategy from the top to the bottom of who's going to do what requirements. I think we all believe that over time, a couple things are essential. One is that's going to become more joint in most cases. Certainly the training and the standards that our cyber warriors will need to be joint so that you can count on them being able to interact with joint teams. A hard look at some functional requirements, what we might do for specific capabilities, command and control, IADs, and those types of functional looks, and how we might ensure that we're providing that capability as a force as opposed to duplication of effort or worrying about deconflicting it too late because you've invested resources that might not have been done that way. So we're working on all of that together.
Hernandez and the other service cyber chiefs testified before the House Armed Services Emerging Threats and Capabilities Subcommittee, and they told lawmakers some answers to the roles and responsibilities questions have begun to emerge. General Keith Alexander, commander of U.S. Cyber Command, issued an operational directive within the last several months that gave each service a lead cyber role for specific geographic areas of the world, as described here by Vice Admiral Michael Rogers, the commander of Navy Fleet Cyber Command.
Here is how my operational vision is in terms of how I will parse out who will have leadership within different geographic areas around the world. And then once you have the lead, you're designated as the lead, then we collaborate with each other for how we're going to generate the full spectrum of capability and the capacity that we'll need to support those joint commanders. Tie-in then is the joint information environment that hopefully gives us over time an underpinning that we can all plug into somewhat seamlessly as opposed to the environment where we operate in today, where that is definitely not the case. I think between those two things, we're able to apply our respective capabilities to maximum effect, but it's an issue of great concern.
And Major General Suzanne Vautrinot, commander of the Air Force Cyber Command, the 24th Air Force, says the order also assigns specific tasks to each of the services.
It also leverages the core competencies that are specialties within each of our services, not just for a given combatant command, but in support of each other as we provide those rare capabilities. In addition, the orders process across the board as U.S. Cyber Command was established has been very freeing in this regard because those orders come through to all of us in order to provide capability across the board. Cyber is foundational to every one of the air, ground, sea, space missions. And because it's foundational, we all need to operate in a synchronized and consistent manner. The orders come to each of us in the operation of our portion of the network to provide that synchronization. And so in following those orders, we are all doing very like things, but appropriate to the network that they must be applied to.
But even as the somewhat disjointed pieces that make up DoD's network transition to a more homogeneous environment and the service's cyber operations become more joint, the military leaders told lawmakers they also want to make sure their individual cyber commands retain the distinctive characters of the four services they represent. The Navy's Rogers says it's a message he delivers frequently.
One other comment I make regularly to the U.S. Cyber Command is, please don't view your components as manpower pools. We are integrated warfighting organizations just like every other mission set within the Department of Defense. Task us just as we do in every other mission area across the department. Have us bring you capacity and capability in an integrated, cohesive unit whole, which is the way we're used to working as a department and the way we have all structured ourselves.
Texas Congressman Mac Thornberry, the chairman of the Emerging Threats Subcommittee, indicated he's not entirely convinced the services will be able to seamlessly interoperate in a joint cyber environment. He says he wants to see plenty of testing of the new operational directive.
It just occurs to me, as y'all sort through these issues that seem to be rather complex, exercises are going to be really essential to test this out. And because, you know, I'm not too concerned about the young folks that work for y'all, but I am more concerned about the bureaucratic gobbledygook that can foul up even the best intentions. And until we exercise some of this capability, you know, it'll be hard to know whether it'll really work.
Among other lessons learned over the past 2 years, the cyber commanders told Congress, is on the topic of recruiting and retention. Despite some early worries that the military's pay system would fail to retain service members with highly valuable cyber skills, each of the four leaders said it's been a non-issue. Again, Vice Admiral Michael Rogers.
To be honest, we have exceeded my expectations. As a person who's been doing this for about 10 years in one form or another now, I can well remember one of my concerns early on as I became involved in this mission set was, how are we going to retain these men and women? I think the thing that's surprised me the most and heartens me the most, and what I ascribe to that retention, is the fact that increasingly these men and women view themselves as warriors. And that's one distinct advantage, I think, for us in uniform. While our civilian counterparts offer many opportunities and arguably advantage, the one area that they don't offer is the ability to be a warrior. And the workforce really seems to crystallize around that idea, as well as the broader Navy as a whole is very energized by the mission set, has great respect for its cyber partners, and goes out of its way to highlight to its cyber partners how well positioned they think they are for the future. And the workforce really responds well to that.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.